Oh, well, what about that? What did you think of the throwdown?
How much fun was that? Just talking with Mal Meninga for an hour. Hey, Mal, what do you think about this? Hey, Mal, what do you think about that? Apologies to all the people who sent in the text messages. We didn't quite have a chance to get to them, but, you know, you want to keep calling. You want to keep sending text messages in. The beauty of that is, guess what? Next Thursday at 12 o'clock, Big Mal's back again. So it's been our privilege to have him. Big show coming up from this point. Not that it wasn't big, right? Doesn't get much bigger than Big Mal Meninga. Adrian Prezenko coming up very shortly. Sydney Morning Herald's chief rugby league reporter. We'll find out what's trending. We'll get the AA. That's afternoon's Amplified. Timmy Williams is here from SC Playbook. Tristan Merlihan from Top Sport, the 2 o'clock flock. Jared Condon, score update, text line for SBS Fence. Boom! That's what you call a two-hour program. So remember, we've got the $100 cash, all thanks to Tristan and the team at Top Sport, 1300 01 1170. And you've got the Signet Boost Power Bank, and you've got to get us on the text line, 0457 736 736. Remember, the Signet Boost Power Bank will keep your phone, tablet, and earbuds powered 24/7. So what has been making news over the last 24 hours? In fact, even more than that, given the fact that I'm a little bit like Oxfam. I work 4 days a week, thank you very much. I saw that. And they said, in groundbreaking news, an Australian company. I'm like, groundbreaking? Been doing it for a couple of years now. Anyway, Dylan Brown has come out and said, I'm going to put up my hand and say, yep, I've failed to capitalise during the big moments in the first three straight losses. If you look at his data, if you look at his, you know, you look carefully at that, you go, oh, no, well, he's actually been playing all right. The interesting part about it is it wasn't until he watched it back that he realised these moments had slipped through his fingers. I'm happy, but I'm not content with how I'm playing. So I think in the US they call this, for quarterbacks, they're watching film. They spend a lot of time watching film. I think great acknowledgement from Dylan Brown. So now I need to be better. The one thing I will say is that Dylan Brown out on that left-hand side, it'd be nice when Sean Lane gets back too. You know, to hear Matty Johns last Friday talk about what a direct running back row means for a ball player, Sean Lane was arguably best in the league last year. So line break and try assists everywhere for Dylan Brown on the back of that. Sean Lane, jaw indefinite is what it says about him coming back. So we've got that with Dylan Brown. And then for the game tonight, the Panthers, Craig Gower, of course, have come out and slagged off Mitch Moses. Well, if you look a little bit closer, this courtesy of the Daily Telegraph, he's just saying Nathan Cleary is quote-unquote lengths ahead of Parramatta's Mitchell Moses, who is quote-unquote a good front runner, but fails to fire in big games. I don't think you can really compare the two, to be perfectly honest. So I don't think Mitch Moses has the all-round game that Nathan has, the way Nathan ices games, and Mitch just hasn't. So, and then Craig Gower says, look, don't get me wrong, Mitch is a great player, but it doesn't seem like he can nail those big games. And, you know, that's what happens when the big dollars get mentioned. I've talked about it. It's a distraction. I've got absolutely zero doubt it's a distraction for Mitchell Moses, but he gets another opportunity tonight against Nathan Cleary. I think it's going to be a low scoring. I think it's going to be a close game, but let's wait and see. You'll hear that game across the SEN network too. Joel Kane and the team bringing you that one. So we've got one Eels half saying, I'm going no good. And then the other Eels half, his opposition has basically said, nah, he's going no good. So over to you, gentlemen, at CommBank Stadium tonight. We'll see how that plays out. Joseph Swalehi, this reported in the Sydney Morning Herald, so we'll have to ask Adrian Prezenko about this, but speculation around a deal being put together. And this comes from their rugby union writers, Georgina Robinson, Michael Atkinson and Ian Paynton. That's to the value of, well, it's over $1 million and under $2 million, so somewhere in there. So not a very wide window, but it's going to put him ahead of Michael Hooper and Taniela Tupou, the tight head prop. So Hamish McLennan, Rugby Australia chairman, said, look, no. But others people saying it's a work in progress. So this is always going to happen, right? 2025, the British and Irish Lions are touring. 2027, we host the World Cup. 2025, Joseph Swalehi is 21. There is so much footy in front of him. It's going to be speculation about this all the time. We heard from Trent Robinson on Tuesday. Nah, speculation doesn't worry me. And we also heard that, Isaac Moses is registered now with Rugby Australia. He's Joseph Swali. He's, you know, join the dots on anything. But you know, we keep having this speculation. As I said on Tuesday, and I'll reiterate it, name me someone in the Wallabies backline that could generate the amount of publicity that Joseph Swalehi could. No one. Absolutely no one. And I did like this. This caught the attention. Let's have a listen to Royce Hunt having a chat yesterday about his little run-in with former teammate Corey Horsburgh.
See if he fronts up. I've never seen a front row hide behind a halfback, though. You know, you can't just hold me in and push me over and not expect anything. It's a bit upset about that. But, you know, it is what it is. It's rugby league. We'll get on with it and bash him next game. You know, as Ricky Shewitt would say, he's a weak gutter dog, but we'll get him next game.
Oh, so what do we make of that? So Ricky, of course, famously fined and suspended last year after labelling Jamin Salmon a weak gutter dog. It entered the vernacular. I think Fletch uses it a bit. Now, apparently News Corp reporting that the NRL will review Hunt's comments and the context surrounding them. I would say that the context is completely different, but we'll get Adrian Prezenko to comment on that. Now, Horsburgh has responded across social media. I think it was Instagram, with a picture of him holding a baby. We think it's his baby, with Royce Hunt's head superimposed on the image, with "really happy for my little boy watching daddy score two tries," along with a couple of emojis of a love heart and a cup of milk. I tell you what, absolutely love it. More NBA than the NBA when we see two players doing that. So I think it's fantastic. 1300 01 1170. Give us your thoughts on it. 0457 736 736. Up next, Adrian Prezenko. We should go straight to him, the Chief Rugby League reporter for the Sydney Morning Herald, because he's got an article on just that topic. Hello, AP.
Yes. Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. What do we make of Corey Horsburgh v. Royce Hunt?
Wow. How good is round 27 going to be, regardless of whether or not these teams are in finals contention or otherwise? And what about that? The weak-gutted dog, that's now officially part of the league lexicon.
Yes.
So, yes, as you mentioned, they had a bit of a scrap on the weekend, which resulted in Hunt being sin-binned. And, of course, he called him a weak-gutted dog in his press conference. And he's also promised to square up in round 27. And, that was very good from Corey Horsburgh in response.
Yes.
Forget about what happens in the fight. I think he's got a future as a graphic designer post-rugby league career, if that's the way he wants to go. So we'll see who's daddy in round 27. But, yeah, look, I think it was all good fun, a good bit of stink and banter. And you are right, I've spoken to the NRL. They are having a look at it, looking at what was said in the press conference and also Horsburgh's reaction. And, of course, Ricky Shewitt was fined $25K and suspended for a week for that weak-gutted dog remark. But I think that this is six again play on. I think this is good fun, a bit of banter. It's good when there's a few characters in the game that are prepared to express themselves.
So the key word for me is context, right?
Yep.
Context in this one. I'm not sure what the key word would be for Anthony Griffin when he learned he had to reapply for his position at the Dragons, nor least the fact that it's become public knowledge as well. Where are we at with this one? It almost makes it impossible for Anthony Griffin to move forward with any sort of confidence that he will be the coach beyond this year.
Agree. Yeah, so I understand what the Dragons are trying to do, and they're trying to be noble and transparent with the coach, so they don't want him reading about it or finding out that they're looking at other potential prospective coaches behind his back. And they're saying, yes, we've given him the chance to have success. But this, to me, Jimmy, is death by a thousand cuts. Yeah. You know, there's no good way to sack a coach or to transition to a new one. And it sort of reminded me a bit of the situation in 2021 with John Morris. It was only a few rounds into the season. He was off contract. And they ended up sacking him, and they got a lot of stick for that. But sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind. And at least it gave the Sharks and the time to find a replacement. And of course, they got Craig Fitzgibbon. And it also gave time for Morris to find a new job. And I'm sure it didn't make it taste very good for John Morris at the time, but at least we all knew what we were doing. And look, Griffin and the Dragons have been going out for 2 years. And it's like any relationship. If you don't know by now, if he's the one, then he probably ain't, Jimmy. So,
yeah.
And just the pressure on Griffin too, I think it's unfair in that he's now coaching for today. He's not making decisions based on what's going to happen tomorrow or what's good for the squad in 2024. And that sort of short-termism, even though he'll be caring about the team and his players, it's at least going to be in the back of his mind. So if he's got a player that's 50-50 and is injured, and he's going to try to rush him back, isn't he, for next week, because he just doesn't have time on his side anymore. And I heard the interview earlier today, Moses Mbai on SEN, and he gave a good chat with Matt White. And look, all of a sudden, like, Moses Mbai is off contract. So what does he do? Because he doesn't know who the coach is going to be. And then if a new coach is coming in, what do they make of Moses Mbai? Is that someone that they want part of the Red V squad going forward?
So, yes.
Yeah, with almost a dozen players off contract, it's just very messy. I think they had the right intention, but this is perhaps the cruelest sort of punishment for Anthony Griffin.
So there's no good way to sack a coach. Plenty of bad ways, which we've seen over the years as well. I was critical of the Sharks in the manner in which they sacked John Morris, but it worked out well because they got Craig Fitzgibbon, who then took them to second on the ladder. So that sort of worked out. They say, hey, we did the right thing. The other thing about what they've done now with Anthony Griffin, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, that is they've given the players an out. Like if they lose a game, they go, yeah, even our board doesn't think that Griff can coach. So, he's the problem, which, if you give the players an out, they'll take it. I know that firsthand. So,
well, that's right. And for, again, it's... What they did with John Morrison, again, I was critical of that too, but it's probably more humane than what we're seeing now. And if the board was really concerned about Anthony Griffin's well-being and future, they wouldn't have leaked the story. Because I'm tipping that Anthony Griffin's not the one that's gone to the media and said, guess what, they're thinking about moving me on.
Yeah.
So, it's not ideal.
What do they say? The coward betrays people with a kiss and then the brave man with a sword. So... let's have a look and see how it plays out.
Always use the sword, Jimmy.
Always use the sword. That's right. Now, big game tonight. Parramatta Eels taking on the Penrith Panthers. Despite the Dolphins-Broncos game garnering most of the attention, even down here in Sydney, these two sides did play in the grand final last year, as a reminder to everyone. Do we need to remind Brad Arthur and what he might have taken out of that grand final?
We talk about being humane and punishing blokes. I can tell you I had a very, very tough day in the office yesterday. So Brad Arthur has said that he hadn't watched the NRL Grand Final. And my boss came over and tasked me, as a long-suffering Parramatta fan, he said, I want you to sit through all 80 minutes and tell Brad Arthur what he's missing.
Oh.
So I had to sort of go over the whole 80 minutes of footage and come up with some things that perhaps Brad can take away and that the Eels can do a little bit differently. And sort of a couple of the key things that I picked out was that, first and foremost, do not kick to Brian Toa. I know that they were keen for him not to carry the ball on the second play because he's so effective making metres that way. But particularly now that Taylan May's out, I would be going to the other wing and I'd be kicking to Sunia Taruva just about every time, because by about half time, I think Toa had already made 177 metres and he probably wasn't that far behind Dylan Edwards in terms of the Clive Churchill medal. And there are a few other things that I sort of picked out, and it was just the ruck speed. They totally lost control of the ruck, Parramatta, and that's why the back three was so effective. And also, Leota and Fisher Harris, out of yardage. So I watched it all. It was like a nightmare car crash happening all over again. Look, I know Brad didn't look at it, but hopefully he'll have taken a few lessons out of what he saw.
So let's ask you, get your thoughts on Parramatta. We, if there's two sides we talk about most on this program, it's the West Tigers and the Parramatta Eels. And a lot of it is listener driven because they're two really, really popular clubs and people want them to do well. 0-3, and we've got Dylan Brown putting his hand up and saying, yep, I need to improve. We've got Mitch Moses hasn't signed a contract, but Craig Gower has come out and had a swipe at him. We've got Ryan Madison turning out for his first game finally. We've got people saying, no less than Andrew Johns, that they haven't quite adjusted to Josh Hodgson as a work in progress. If you want to talk about the actual three games, they're not that far away from a victory. But one of the downers of that is the fact that when the game was there to be taken, it wasn't. Where are you on this Parramatta Eels narrative?
Well, it's the perfect storm, Jimmy, because everything you've just described, and you've got to remember that they're playing three really tough opponents coming off the bye back to back to back. The other thing that probably hasn't been mentioned so much is the absence of Sean Lane, which I think is huge. And,
yep.
You know, you talk about Dylan Brown giving an assessment of his own game. That's been so much, you know, harder to do, given that those guys combine beautifully in defence and attack. And with all respect to Bryce Cartwright, he's probably the X factor that you want coming off the bench that really isn't coming off the bench at the moment. I think that's a much better option than having him sort of starting. So Madison, I mean, obviously that's a decision he would want to have again, and the club needs to take a lot of responsibility for letting him make that decision. Ultimately, they're the ones that put in the guilty plea or otherwise. So all of those things mean that if they lose, they're basically gone tonight. Like they cannot win the competition. North Queensland have won coming back from 0-3, but no one's done it coming back from 0-4. So
wow.
All of those different factors have conspired against the Eels, and they need to show up against a team that taught them, you know, plenty of very hard truths in that grand final. They were almost flawless, the Panthers.
Yeah, no doubt. What are we reading in the SMH tomorrow, mate? What have we got to look forward to?
Well, I think we'll trawl over the carcass of the St. George Illawarra Dragons again. So I'll be having a look there. There's some players that are doing some media today, and it'll be interesting to hear how they react to the news of what's happening with Anthony Griffin. And of course, then we've got the big one, the grand final replay tonight.
Yeah, lots to cover. Watch it, read it all. Sorry, in the Sydney Morning Herald. Good on you, AP. We'll chat again next Thursday.
Thanks, Jimmy. Catch you then.
Adrian Prezenko there, Chief Rugby League Reporter for the Sydney Morning Herald. 1300 01 1170. Get us on the text line 0457 736 736. All right, let's get ourselves to a break. After the break, we are back with Afternoons Amplified. You stick around.